The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Well, it's good to see you here this morning. Thank you for being a part of worship today. So glad to have Rocky back. You had me sweating. Well, no, I say last week was an adventure and a blast. We were so thankful for Jake coming to help us lead. As we get started today, I missed completely Pi Day the other day. Did y'all miss Pi Day?
I did not.
You did not? No. Somebody had some pie. I missed Pi Day completely. If y'all don't know what Pi Day is, March 14th is 3.314, and I guess that's like pi, a mathematic term. I have no idea. A lady at the store the other day told us, she's like, "Are you celebrating Pi Day?" I was like, "No, I just eat pie every day. Like, it has nothing to do with Pi Day." But today is a different day. Today is March 16th. It's 3.16, and so as part of the North American Mission Board, and the Mission Board, in other words, all Baptist churches in today were encouraged to preach a familiar passage. Now, there's a couple problems with that. Somebody today is going to preach a phenomenal passage on John 3.16. I don't know who it's going to be, but somebody today is going to preach a phenomenal passage on John 3.16. But the difficult part is, you guys all know John 3.16. So what in the world, how can anybody get up and tell you something about a verse that you already know from heart? Most people, John 3.16 is one of the very first verses they ever memorize in all of Scripture. It's so familiar that you find it at basketball games and hockey games and football games where people hold up signs with John 3.16 on it. It's so familiar that it has crept into every area, and it's a national thing that everyone just kind of goes with John 3.16. Now, we're going to get to the text in just a second, but just to prove me right here, John 3.16 says, okay, good. All right. So again, it's very well known. So today, what we're going to do is this. I'm going to go with the idea that we're going to just break down the passage. We're going to walk through it like we usually do together. But then there was one thing, as I studied this passage and as I poured into this passage, there was one thing that wrecked my entire world. Because I've never thought of John 3.16 like this. And so, we're going to get there in just a second. But to start out, the passage starts like this. We're going to read John 3.16 all the way through 21. If you've got your Bibles, you can open it there. If not, it's in your notes. It should be on the screens. Lots of ways for you to see it. It says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of the light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly what they have done has been done in the sight of God." Now, starting out, plain and simple, God loves who? The world. Now, I know that seems so simple and so easy, but here's some things it doesn't mean. God doesn't just love the nation of Israel. Does God love the nation of Israel? Yes, I think he does. God doesn't just love America. Do I think God loves America? Yes, he does. But are we the only country that God loves? No, not at all. God loves everybody. He loves the entire world. He doesn't just love people who look like us, sound like us. It's not just about a people, about a nation. God loves our church. God loves the church down the road. God loves the church down the road that way. God loves people who aren't at church today. God's love is for everyone. The idea that the whole time, ever since the beginning of the world, God's design and plan has been to bring the entire world back to him. to reconcile the entire world. Not just certain people, not just certain groups, not just certain things, but the entire world. Now, along with that, if God loves the world, then God's love is for everyone. It's for you. It's for me. It's for the person who looks like us, who doesn't look like us. You can't be too white that God doesn't love you. You can't be too black that God doesn't love you. You can't be too Democratic. You can't be too Republican. You can't be too rich. You can't be too poor. You can't be too sick. You can't be too healthy. God's love is for everyone. You can't be too sinners. That's not it. You can't. We are sinners. You can't be too sinful. There it is. Thank you. Somebody had it. You can't be too sinful. Now, you mean to tell me, because there's some bad folks out there. Yeah, God's love is for those bad folks. Just like God's love is for you. That's what the very first passage is, as you start out and you walk through this. The very first thing he says is, God loved the world. It's everyone, all inclusive. God's love is for every single person. Now, a couple things we have to realize in that. You need God's love. Everybody needs God's love. The saved person needs God's love. The lost person needs God's love. The person who's in church on Sunday morning needs God's love. The person who's sitting at home needs God's love. Everybody needs God's love this morning. That's going to be important in just a little bit. Another thing that kind of is just as you walk through this, there's only one sacrifice. When you read there again, it says that God gave his one and only son. Later on down in verse number 18, it talks about how God gave his only son. There is one sacrifice. There's not a lot of sacrifices. There's not multiple sacrifices. There's not another sacrifice that's coming later. One of the things that we've seen over and over again in the book of Hebrews is that there is one sacrifice. Here's what that means. You can't sacrifice yourself. Because if you sacrifice yourself, that means there's lots of sacrifices. There's one sacrifice. Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was the only sinless person that's ever lived in all creation. Unfortunately, because you and I sin, if we were to try and sacrifice ourselves, it wouldn't do us any good. There was one sacrifice. In other words, there's only one way to get to heaven. The name, and that's in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for us. Keep going down the verse, those verses, and you also notice that there's nothing you can do to earn your salvation. Salvation is about faith. Listen. I have no clue why. I know you all are good church going folks and you're here and I get it. This topic has stuck in my head for months now. Salvation is by faith alone. It is not church attendance. It's not membership. It's not good works. It's not morality. It's not your bank account. Salvation is through faith alone. Church, I have no clue why. I know I sound like a broken record saying this over and over to you, but it's because somebody needs to hear this. It does not matter what you do. You can do nothing. Your salvation is only by faith in Christ. Nothing else works. That's why this one sacrifice is such a big deal. That's why this is so exclusive. And it doesn't necessarily just leave this open road that goes through everyone. It's very narrow. Because salvation is about faith and faith alone. Now, we've gone through this. Most of you guys are like, all right, great. John, that's wonderful. I got up Sunday morning to come and hear this. And yes, you did. The next couple parts get really good to me. In verse number 17, you find out that Jesus doesn't come into the world to condemn the world. Jesus is not the means of condemnation, but salvation. Now, here's what's cool about that. Jesus' desire is for everybody to be saved. Saved from what? Well, that's why we looked at last week the importance and why sin matters. Because see, what we have to come to first realize is this, is that we need salvation. We need to be saved. Every one of us is a sinful person. Every one of us is born into sin. Every one of us chooses sin. It doesn't matter. Sin is what separates us from God. Sin is the lack of faith that anything else can save me other than the Son of God. And that's it. And so Jesus' design and plan was never to condemn. Another word for condemn is judge. Now, I know we talked about this a lot on Wednesday night, the judgment seat of Christ, but the judgment seat of Christ is going to be this. That's when you get to tell him everything you've done with your life. You get to glorify him with your life. And all, like Miss Ashley was talking about just a little bit, all the gifts, the talents, the things that he's given you, the opportunities and the possibilities that he's given you, you get to give account for those. But Jesus' job is not to condemn. His job was to bring salvation. His job was to make peace between you and God. His job was to lovingly offer a way out of sin. Now, here's why this is such a big deal to me. If that's what Jesus' job is, that's what our job is as Christians. I've said this before, and I think I'm gonna go to my grave saying this. Your job is not to condemn the world. Leave that to God and the Holy Spirit. They're really good at it. Your job is to live a life that expresses faith, hope, and love. And when you live a life that expresses faith, hope, and love, what you are doing is you're exposing that darkness to light. Jesus' plan was never to condemn the world. Jesus' plan was to save the world. And now we get to go and be a part of that as well. Judgment comes from not believing. We looked at that a little bit last week, this idea. And again, the more I've wrestled with this, the more I believe it. Judgment comes from not believing. When you look and you see, he who believes is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Why are they condemned already? Well, they're condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Church, some of you may not have missed it last week. All sin comes from a lack of faith. Did anybody do your homework last week and try and go find a sin that doesn't come from a lack of faith? I'm going to save you some time. It all comes back to it. I've searched, I've called people, I've researched this. All sin comes from a lack of faith. That's why what he says here is, listen, you're condemned already because you're refusing to place faith. By you refusing to place your faith in Christ, you stand condemned already. Why? Because you are admitting in that that's a lack of faith. God, you can't do anything with me. God, I don't believe you can save me. God, I don't believe that your sacrifice is enough. God, I don't believe this. I don't believe that. That lack of faith is what separates so many people from God. Now, here's what's terrifying to me. We are so familiar with John 3:16. We're so familiar with God's love. We're so familiar with church and with Christianity here in our country, in our little corner of the world. I think there are so many people who completely miss this and live their lives based on morality, based on good works, based on all kinds of other things, and they do this. If I sin, what do I have to do to make up for it? Go to church, be really good, read the Bible more times this week than I did last week because I sinned more this week than I did last week. Maybe when the offering plate comes by, I have to give a little bit more. Maybe I have to go to church. Maybe I have to pray. Maybe I have to read the Bible more. I have to do something to make up for my sin. Man, what's your faith really in? To me, that sounds like my faith is in me and what I can do to earn God's love. There's nothing we can do to earn God's love. And Christ's death on the cross shows us that he loves us regardless. He loves us in our sin. Church, if I can share one truth with you this morning, salvation comes through Jesus Christ alone. I know, you've heard this. It's not a new message. It's not a new idea. But I wonder how many of us, when we look at the idea that sin is lacking faith, does that become a really scary title for us? Or become a very scary saying? True confession moment, as I've started to prepare this and get ready to teach this to y'all, man, lack of faith is all over my life. all over my life. And so I trust God. I do. But then there's these situations over here and these circumstances over here. And there's this and there's that. And there's all these different things where really my faith isn't in God. My faith is in John Prose and how I can handle the situation. Now, why is that so scary? Because if I get real down and honest with you guys, there's part of me that thinks that way about my salvation too. And no, we won't say that. We don't confess that. We don't come to church and tell other people that. But deep down inside, the struggle, the dilemma we all go through is, what can I do to earn God's love? What can I do to be saved? This comes on the heels of Nicodemus coming to Jesus at night. Nicodemus, when he comes to Jesus at night, if you read it up a little bit further in John chapter 3, he says, what can I do to be saved? Jesus tells him he has to be born again. Why in the world would he tell him he has to be born again? Because Jesus is trying to convey to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, there is absolutely nothing you can do. Have y'all ever been in the room when somebody's given birth? Ain't nothing you can do. That baby comes when it's ready. It doesn't matter if you're ready for it. It doesn't matter if the doctor is ready for it. It doesn't matter if the doctor's in the room that's supposed to be in the room, like you're supposed to have the doctor in there. That baby's coming one way or another. And it doesn't matter if the nurse has given you the medicine he's supposed to give you or not. It doesn't matter anything. That baby's coming when that baby's ready. But guess what? That baby has absolutely no choice. It comes when it comes. Nicodemus he tells this to Nicodemus. He says, Nicodemus, you have to be born again. In other words, there's nothing you can do, Nicodemus. Church, there's nothing you can do to earn God's love. He goes on in this passage, and these are some interesting phrases. He talks about the verdict is this in verse 19. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. See, the dilemma we all have is this. Once we've been exposed to the light of the world, we become aware of our sin. You know why people don't like to come to church? Who aren't living their lives for Christ? Because it makes me feel bad about my life. You know why people don't like to be around Christians? Christians aren't genuinely fun people. Rocky, I've enjoyed being around you, man. We actually have a text message, and we've sent each other pretty funny text messages every once in a while. They're pretty good. So we got an Instagram text. What's the Instagram? Something on Instagram that we send messages, and they're hilarious, man, with Michael and Becky. I love some of those things. Christians are genuinely fun people if you get to know us. So why don't people like being around Christians? Hopefully it's because the light that you're shining on their life exposes the darkness in their life. It makes them feel guilty, it makes them feel conscious, and it makes them feel uncomfortable being around you. But it's not just them, it's you too. You ever not be in God's Word like you're supposed to be? You ever feel like not coming to church? You ever feel like you don't want to read God's Word? You don't want to be in His Word? You don't want to pray? You don't want to go to Bible study? You don't want to sing worship songs and praise Him? Because the closer you get, the more areas of your life you start to notice aren't exactly what they're supposed to be. Once aware of our sin, we either run to the light so we can remove our evil deeds once we see them, or we choose to stay hiding in the darkness. You know what hiding in the darkness means? Hiding in the darkness means we're trying to fix ourselves by ourselves without the help of the light. Y'all's power goes out here more than any place else I've ever lived. I'm just going to tell you. The other night, we had storms come through in the morning. And I don't know. I wasn't here, but I was told it was really bad here. And then all of a sudden, sunshine comes out. It's a beautiful day. We're playing outside. We're having a good time. All of a sudden we go in, we start cooking dinner, and guess what happens? As soon as we get dinner ready to put in the oven, power goes out. You know how hard it is to cook in the dark? Why? Because you can't see what you're doing. There are so many of us, church, who live our lives in the dark, trying to fix ourselves. You're making no progress because you can't see what you're doing. Finally, after trying to cook in the dark for about 30 minutes, I got sick of it. I went out and turned the generator on, ran an extension cord, plugged it in, turned the light on, was actually able to see, finished cooking dinner. Right about the time we got ready to put dinner on the table, power came back on. Great. Thanks, God, for that one. But man, when I think about that, that's what a lot of us do. We would rather stay in the darkness, trying to fix ourselves, trying to become righteous enough, trying to become moral enough, trying to become good enough, trying to do enough, than to walk into the light and say, God, listen, I got these areas in my life. I need you to expose them to me. God, I need you to expose the areas where I'm not trusting you. God, where my faith is in anything but you. And I need you to help me fix them. I need you to help me turn these areas over to you. God, I need you to help me turn this over to you. God, I need you to help me do this. It's amazing to me how difficult it is to ask for help. Well, that's all God wanted to do from the very beginning. Now, I told you that there was part of this that was earth-shattering to me. As I read John 3:16 for the months getting ready to get ready for this Sunday, I read different books and I read different theologians, guys who study this way more than I ever do. And one thought stood out from one group. One group said this: God's love for you is greater than his hatred for sin. And that kind of rocked my world a little bit. Because I know how strongly God feels about sin. I know how much it breaks his heart. I know how much he doesn't like it. I know how much God hates sin. And to think that God loves me more than he hates that, that's remarkable. That's the kind of love that I can't grasp, I can't fathom, I can't begin to understand. And I have to take my faith and faith alone. God, if you love me that much, then man, you love me way more than I could ever imagine. There's another group though. This other group of authors and theologians and people who study this said this: that God's hatred for sin is expressed in his love for you. And when I read these different guys and I read these different people, they were kind of almost debating with each other which one was right. And I don't think either one of them is right. I think both of them are right, but I don't think they're right individually of each other. See, because when I read that first line, I think about how much God hates sin. But then I realize, man, how much he loves me if he's willing to give his one and only son so that I can have my sins removed. God loves me way more than I could ever imagine. Listen, church, can I tell you something this morning? I don't care what you've done. You can have a long list of sins. You can have a short list of sins. You can have sins that are so deep and dark and disgusting that you don't think anyone will ever love you. Can I tell you something? God loves you way more than he hates your sin. But the second part of that phrase is also so true and also so important. Because what the second part of that says is this: God hates your sin so much that he didn't want to leave you in your sin. Wouldn't it be great if you just said, hey, listen, God loved me, but leave me how I am? It's like going up to somebody with a broken leg and saying, hey, listen, hey, JP, I have this bum leg. Can you get me out of my car, but just leave my leg broken? And JP would probably say, yeah, I can. That'd be easier for me. But how foolish is that? But that's what a lot of us want from God, isn't it? God, I want you to love me, but I want you to leave me in my sin. And see, that's why the second part of this phrase is so important, is because God hates sin so much, and he knows how detrimental, how devastating, how awful it is for your life. And he says, hey, listen, I love you so much that your sin pales in comparison to my love, but I hate that lack of faith so much that I cannot let you stay like that any longer. And you've got to come out of that. I've got to expose that. Church, I have no clue where you are this morning. I don't know if you are fully trusting in God with everything and there's no lack of faith in your life whatsoever at all. Or if you're on that fence this morning, you talk a good talk. You know the right words to say. You know that all my hope is in Jesus. Jesus Christ is my living hope. All those different things. You know all the right phrases. But deep down on a gut level, when it's you and God, and he asks you why he should let you into heaven, you have to go back and say, well, I did this, I did this, I did that. Man, I love you too much to let you walk away from here without hearing that that's not why God loves you. That's not why you're saved. If your faith is in what you've done, I really worry about your salvation. Because what John 3:16 tells me is that there's nothing I can do. Listen, some of you this morning may need to hear, you need to hear that God loves you more than he hates your sin. You've beat yourself up. You've allowed other people to beat you up for years over sin in your life. And you just feel like every time you are around somebody who's a Christian, you feel awful about yourself because you're not as good as them. Can I tell you a secret this morning? God loves you way more than he hates your sin. But God loves you too much to let you stay in your sin. Now, last week we looked at what sin is and why sin matters. And again, all sin boils down to, comes back to this idea of it's a lack of faith. In other words, with this whole passage, how all this works together in my head is this. Sin is a lack of faith. God loves you too much to let you stay lacking faith. So what does he do? He exposes things. He shows you areas of your life where your faith, your trust isn't in him, it's in you. The very first one is salvation. Listen, I know all church-going folks, you all love Jesus, and that's wonderful, and I wish that your love for Jesus was enough. But you loving Jesus isn't what gets you eternity in heaven. You placing your faith and trust in Christ alone is what gets you in heaven. This morning, if you've never made that decision, if your faith and your trust is in your works, is in something you've done, is in a membership, is in somebody else's faith, and never your own, this morning's your chance. In just a second, Rocky's going to come and he's going to sing a song of invitation. And what I want to invite you to do is this. Listen, God, my faith and my trust is in you and you alone. Some of you this morning, you've taken that step of faith. And you've placed your faith and trust in him, but you've never taken another step of faith in your life. In fact, your salvation was the only step of faith that you've had in your entire relationship with God. Can I tell you that you're probably steeped in sin? Because what you're doing over and over again is you're saying, God, I trust you for salvation, but I don't trust you day to day. God, I don't trust you with this. I don't trust you with that. I don't trust you with that. I don't trust you with that. And so what you're doing is you're continually falling into these patterns and these cycles of sin, and you can't figure out why, and you can't ever seem to get yourself good enough to get out of it. This morning, can I tell you, the only way out of it is still in Jesus Christ. Listen, I've looked at this time and time again, and I don't know why, but I've got to share this with you. Every sin you and I struggle with comes from a lack of faith. Every every one of them. And the only remedy is this. God, I trust you more. God, I trust you more. I trust you with this. I trust you with this. I trust you with that. And the more you trust him, the more you're going to start to see those areas where you have that lack of faith. Remove yourself. Remove themselves. God, I thank you for today. Lord, it's a familiar passage. We've heard it before. But God, in the stillness and the quietness of this moment, I pray that you would convict our hearts. Father, if there's one in this room who's never placed their faith in you, God, they may have come to church for their entire lives. God, they may have walked in here for the first time today. But God, they've never placed their faith and trust in you. God, they know they're a sinner. They can acknowledge that. God, that they know that you love them, but Father, they would say they love you, but they've never placed their faith in you to save them. God, I pray today would be their day of salvation. God, for the one that's in here, Lord, they're saved. God, they have a relationship with you through Jesus. But God, they just want you to leave them where they are. Lacking faith. Lacking trust in you for every day. God, I pray today that you would just speak to their heart. Father, the truest and greatest expression of your love is not to leave them where they are, but to call them closer to you through deeper steps of faith. Lord, we love you and thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.